This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Human Animal Connection podcast. Really glad you're with us again. We have a really inspiring, heartwarming show today. I'm going to be speaking with Karen Thomas, and she is the founder of Peyton's Promise. And she does the work that I don't think too many people could do. She's really looking at making the best of days, the best of life for that time when animals are getting ready to transition. So we're going to look at it from the point of view of the uplifting possibilities, the spiritual component, the emotional component, how that can be some of the most enriching time. So I'm really excited to say welcome to Karen.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Yeah. So how did you get started? I know you were a nurse. How did you get involved in this work?
Yeah, this goes way back. I knew that I wanted to work with dogs at the age of 7. Mm-hmm. There was an ad in a local newspaper, you know, for an animal rescue. I guess it was a local rescue. And I saw the picture and I asked my mom, I said, please take me here. I was 7 years old. And that was my first experience with shelter animals. And it was at that point, you know, I walked in and there were a bunch of puppies there. I mean, this is in the, you know, early 70s. So, and there were just a bunch of puppies. I picked it up and I picked one of them up and we just connected right away. And it's like, I knew at that very moment that that's what I wanted to do. And I think that's where my intuition started with connecting with animals. You know, mm-hmm. I just kind of thought we could all talk to animals. It took me many years to learn otherwise.
Yeah.
So I developed that connection. I was just obsessed with dogs growing up and I just tried to learn everything I could about them. My mom said, as soon as you're old enough, you can have your a house full of dogs, but not now. Oh. So then of course life kind of took its after school. I was really strong in the sciences and I was a natural caregiver to everybody. I kind of was that person that always took care of everybody, humans and animals. So that just sort of naturally led me on the course of nursing mm-hmm. school. Mm-hmm. And so I did that and I had, you know, a 30-year career of working in hospitals and doctor's offices and human nursing. But at the end of the day, I always, you know, kind of came home and that was my downtime was connecting with my animals. And probably about 20 years ago now, I got involved with energy work and holistic modalities. And I was, you know, traditionally Western trained with nursing, but then I started getting involved with all of these other healing modalities. And I thought, wow, this is really, you know, this is amazing. And I always practiced on my animals and they were always so willing to receive. Right. Mm-hmm. Like it was just unlike humans. They just had no barriers. They didn't question. And as that holistic approach strengthened over the years, I knew that I wanted to back out of the traditional nursing field. Right. Mm-hmm. It was just like I needed to go on to something else. So after I sort of hospiced, I mean, it was 15 years apart, but I was the hospice nurse for my dad. He passed, he transitioned, and then 2 years ago, my mom transitioned. After that happened, everything kind of opened up, and mm-hmm. I was able to move forward with the sanctuary that I have now. So yes. Basically, yeah, I take my background in nursing, and I pull dogs that have special medical needs, pretty much the ones that would not make it out of the shelter alive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My criteria are they need to be they don't need to be, but they're usually senior, mm-hmm. The bigger dogs, mm-hmm. medical needs, and they likely have a time limit because I have a lot of large city shelters that I pull from. I'm down mm-hmm. in South Florida. So that's kind of how it got started. And I you know, worked with animals and did animal communication. I went to school, studied animal communication. did Healing Touch for Animals. I went through that whole course with Carol Commator and Healing Touch with Humans. Like, it's just amazing, right? I continue.
Yes.
So I kind of put that all together and officially opened the doors for the first dog in the summer of 2022. So 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, are you working out of your house? Do you have land? How do you do this?
So it was, so I started the process of establishing a nonprofit organization right when we went into COVID. And that actually is a good little story to tell how, what made me finally do this. Mm-hmm. It was on my agenda since the age of seven, like I said. And in 2020, there was a dog that came into our local shelter. Now, I've been volunteering with our local shelter for 22 years since I'm down here. Mm-hmm. And she came in 2020, a beautiful German Shepherd that was incredibly broken physically, mentally, spiritually. Her name was Peyton Rose.
Oh,
and right. And she just had there were so many things wrong with her. So I kind of made her my project, went in every single day. I gave her baths, did energy work, essential oils. Like, she had multi-organ system problems, skin problems, emotional problems. She was so neglected. And within the first month or so of working on her, she started to look better and just really come out of her shell and started to, I was like, okay, we're making progress. And then all of a sudden COVID shut everything down and volunteers couldn't go in.
Right.
So there was about a month or two lag, probably closer to 2 months, that I wasn't allowed in to work with her. And when I finally did come back in to see her, she had regressed back to where she was by no fault of anybody. It was just, I made this commitment to do this intensive work on her, and the staff couldn't maintain that.
Yeah.
So we were kind of right back where we started, if not worse. And she was very vocal. She was a German Shepherd that talked a lot. And when I came back, she was kind of like, where have you been? I have been waiting for you. And So she would just kind of yell at me in a loving way and say, would you just start that sanctuary already?
Aww.
I made a promise to her. I said, Peyton, I promise you, when I see you through your journey, I will get the sanctuary started. And that's why I named Peyton's Promise Sanctuary.
Aww.
So fast forward about another month or so, I was diligently working with her, but her health was declining. Finally,
at that point, was she in the shelter or did you take her home at that point?
She was still in the shelter, and I came in and just continued to work with her every single day. And the director of the shelter and the vet team, they all agreed, and it wasn't a quick decision. I mean, they just agreed that she was significantly declining and it was time for her to be euthanized. So the director allowed me to adopt her, give her her best last day here, and then take her for a private euthanasia. So that's what we did. And I adopted her, and a core group of my friends who had known her and loved her and worked with her, we got together. We let her swim in the pool. We made her favorite foods. She had her stuffies, like all of the things that she absolutely loved.
And,
yes. And 4 o'clock in the afternoon, her appointment time was coming up, and she knew. It was at 3:30, she was like, okay, I'm ready. She kind of ran over to my truck and just started jumping up and barking at my truck. And we took her in, and it was, you know, it was just a really beautiful, beautiful and sad transition, but she was ready.
Yes.
She was ready. And it's like, I've never seen, and I've been through a lot of euthanasias, like as soon as she was sedated, her spirit was out of her body, and she was ready to like help me in spirit. She's like,
yeah.
Okay, let's get this going.
Yeah.
So that was 2020. And then after she passed, I started the paperwork for the actual sanctuary itself.
Mm-hmm.
COVID really slowed everything down. So during that period of time from 2020 to 2022, my mother was also very sick. So I was spending a lot of time taking care of her and kind of working on getting the sanctuary going on the side. And she knew that this was my dream from a little girl. She totally supported everything I did. I would bring random shelter dogs here to her house on the weekends, like to swim in her pool, and she loved to watch them. And she left this house for me. She said, I want you to have this house and I want you to turn it into your sanctuary.
Oh, yeah,
and she passed in April of 2022. And literally, it was like the day before she passed, I got the letter in the mail from the IRS that we were official 501c3. So after that, like everything just started falling into place.
That's
so
wonderful.
It is on my property. I renovated the pool house. Uh-huh. And they have all of their large kennels in there. So I have the pool house where seven of the dogs stay.
Yeah.
Two in foster, and I have my two in the house. So we have, and three large fenced in yards and a pool and all the fun things.
That's excellent. Well, I love that you were able to have a communication exchange between you and Peyton. You know, it makes it so much easier, I think, for both the human and the dog when there's that understanding that this is euthanasia is not some terrible thing we're doing to them, you know, that we are listening to when it's time, you know, which is, and I know not everybody is in that situation where they have that opportunity, but I just think it's so important for people to hear these stories so they can consider, you know, well, what if we could talk and what if I could listen and make sure, you know, it takes a lot of the guilt out when you know that the dog knows that it's time because they are not as attached to their bodies as we are.
That's exactly right. And I find that they don't fear death. Like humans, we have a very big fear of it. And they, from what I have experienced over the years of communicating and connecting with them, they see it as a very natural part of the cycle of life and they accept it. And that's why they can leave their, you know, they just can more readily, generally leave their bodies quicker. And they're just, well, I don't, you know, I'm going to be back. Like I'm here in spirit. Like they just know, you know, they know that they're not going anywhere, but it's really hard for us to accept and comprehend. Yeah.
Yeah. So have you had experiences with Peyton since she's passed that you can share with us, ways that she's communicated or connected with you?
I feel her here, especially in the very beginning. I feel her here a lot. I feel still she comes and goes, but she'll pop up on my phone if I'm having a problem with a dog or if I'm just contemplating something or meditating and all of a sudden her picture will pop up in the phone on my phone, you know, just like a random picture from 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Her say, you know, it's okay. You're in the right, you're moving in the right direction. Like it's have grace with yourself. Like I'll just hear messages in my head.
Yes.
I think she would say, and she was always pretty bossy and that's kind of how she is in spirit. It makes me laugh and it's heartwarming.
Yeah. And that way, you know, it's her because the personality is still there.
The essence of her personality is still very strong. And just like, you know what you're doing. You've been doing this for a long time. You got this. Keep moving. And
Yeah, that's great. And I think it's important for people to hear also that when an animal's in spirit, they're not usually hanging around all the time. They're in and out because they have a life, you know, and we don't want to pull them. Of course, we want to connect when it's meaningful moments of connection, but we want to recognize that they've got their new life and they're doing well, you know. That's so right. Yeah, that's really great. That's really great. So tell me a little bit about some of these best last days. I know you have some stories about best last days.
Yeah. So our goal is when I first started, this was strictly going to be hospice dogs only. And when I went to the shelter to start pulling dogs, they were very much appearing to be at the end of their lives. And luckily, thankfully, I wouldn't say 80% of them at this point, we brought them back here and did some TLC and some really good vet care and good dietary changes and got them back. And many of them are thriving. Now, yes, they are still senior. Yes, they still have medical needs, but I've had, you know, we're going on 2 years now. I still have a few of the original ones that I pulled at the very beginning.
Wow. So,
and there are our dogs for the rest of their lives. The ones that I know are definitely have a time limit or very much at the end of the life. I want to make sure that we make their very best of it, the last period of their life, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a story of, this was actually a shelter dog by the name of Roberta. And this about 20, my goodness, this was a while ago, maybe 2016. It was quite a while ago. She was surrendered by her human. She came in, she was probably about 15. She was a little boxer. She was completely emaciated. Like, she was all ribs. She was just used for breeding her entire life. And when they were done with her, they were done with her, right? Like, that was it. They just brought her in to be euthanized or whatever. She had large mammary tumors and just full of cancer. And I looked at this little girl and I thought, okay. And I worked really closely with the director of the shelter. I said, yeah, she's very sick. She's full of cancer. I understand it's the end of her life, but can I have her for the day tomorrow? Can we do a best last day? And she's like, absolutely. So that day before I left, I gave her a bath. I love giving baths to everybody. Like, that's there's so much to that, you know, energy work, massage. I can talk to them, communication, just kind of, let's just wash off the old and bring you to present moment.
Yeah.
I was giving her a bath and I said, you know, thank you. Thank you for coming here. You matter. I am sorry you had such a hard life, but I want to honor your life and let's spend the day tomorrow. And, you know, what would you like to do? And as I was talking to her, she just kind of, I got the message from her that she's like, you know, I've had puppies and puppies and puppies my whole life. And I just want to be loved and honored and respected like those puppies were. Right. She just felt very used, you know, she felt very abandoned her whole life. And I said, I hear that. And we are going to honor you as the princess that you are. And we're going to have a party for you tomorrow. And so she really resonated with that. So after I gave her bath, I painted her toenails pink. And I said, I'll see you in the morning. Came in the morning, brought her homemade pancakes for breakfast. Put on a pink thunder shirt on her to cover, basically to cover her ribs, because I knew I was going to take her in public and I didn't want people to look at her with pity or, she looked unhealthy. So in her fingernails, got the pink thunder shirt on, put little fairy wings on her back on the thunder. And we took her to the beach. We let her on the beach. I took her to the local plaza where the health food store is. She kind of like romped up and she was so happy. I mean, she was out of breath, but you could tell her just the joy that she was being honored. And everybody was, oh, look at how pretty she is. Is it her birthday? And I would just back, yes, it's a very special day today. We got her something, a little strawberry smoothie at the health food store, and we took lots of pictures and just celebrated her. And it was an amazing day to just her, you know, put her on that platform and let her be loved and respected and honored just as she wanted. And by that afternoon, got her, you know, it was ready for her to cross the Rainbow Bridge. And I lay down with her and I put her paw in mine. And she just was so relaxed. It was like, and she just kept saying, thank you. Thank you. And she passed incredibly peacefully. And she had a smile on her face when she passed. So relaxed.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see.
Yes. You know,
that's the celebration that I dream for every dog, right?
Yes. And yes.
Of course, it's a time of emotional turmoil. And of course, we're going to be horribly sad and we don't want them to go. And at the same time, I try to balance that with the honor, and because it is a rite of passage. You know, I try to give that to them and let them have the respect and the honor that they deserve as they cross. So
yeah,
it was one of many, many stories.
That's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story. I mean, it's, you know, if we take dogs into our home, you know, like a lot of people, I remember I had this idea that euthanasia wasn't natural, you know, like they should go on their own. That was a preconception I had when, you know, because I just thought, why are we intervening? But now I understand that, you know, in the wild, natural would be the dog goes out to the mountain and the, you know, lays down under the tree and the becomes lunch for the coyote, you know, and that's natural. We can't give them natural. So when it's time, we really need to, you know, understand that we have a responsibility to help and make this transition and make it as beautiful as possible. So it's beautiful work.
Absolutely. And it's all part of, you're right, it's all part of advocacy. You know, we keep them as comfortable as we can until we cannot anymore. Like, we would all love a natural, everybody to just fall asleep. and not wake up. That would be beautiful for it to happen to everybody and in a perfect world, but sometimes it just doesn't.
Yeah.
Try to make it as amazing as we can.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a short little break. When we come back, I want you to tell us another wonderful story because that was so beautiful.
Okay.
We'll get back in just a moment.
Hey, friends. If you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection, where I'm speaking with Karen Thomas. She is the founder of the nonprofit Peyton's Promise, which helps dogs have the best days at the end of their life. So this has been just so moving to hear these beautiful stories. And death is always going to be so sad for the humans, but in addition to the sadness, in the presence of the sadness, we can also have grace and joy and dignity in death. I think that that's really something. And I know I was also volunteering at the shelter all through COVID and starting my nonprofit all through COVID. So we're sort of on parallel tracks with that. And, you know, shelter euthanasia is hard. It's not easy to do that. And there needs to be a better way. And it's no fault of the shelter workers who do the best they can. And, you know, they're faced with this, you know, unbelievable, you know, day after day, euthanasia after euthanasia. So there just has to be a better way for us humans to kind of plan this and not, you know, to be better prepared and to listen to the animal. So tell us another story that you'd like us to know about.
Oh, okay. yes, I agree with you. And I feel like everybody should have a bucket list for their animals. And it doesn't even have to be, you don't even have to wait until the end of their lives. Like if it's something you know your dog loves, treat them to it.
Yeah.
So our very first inaugural dog who walked through the doors, Bubba's, he came to me in August 1st, actually, of 2022. And I knew when I went to Miami to the shelter and I saw him, I fell in love with him as soon as I saw him, but I could just tell by looking at him that he was very sick. Nothing that was diagnosed yet, but I just knew in my heart that he had a lot going on. So he came to us and he had a large melanoma that was growing on his abdomen. I mean, large melanoma, had that removed. What I didn't know was that he was completely full of cancer, probably was full of cancer when I got him out of the shelter, didn't know. So he was amazing dog, just amazing. He was the meeter, the greeter, so loving, so grateful. And when he stopped, his appetite really went down and there was just a big change in him. This was the middle of June. I took him in for a thorough exam and the doctor x-rayed his belly to see what was going on. Well, the belly captured the bottom of his lung fields and we saw that he was full of nodules and cancer. And I thought, okay, he doesn't have much longer. So what happened was I didn't know how much time he had. He wound up having 6 more weeks. So he passed at the end of July. So every day it was, Bubba's, what do you want to do today? We just bucket-list it every single day because who knew? We didn't know what day would be the day, right?
Yeah. I mean, he
literally didn't want to eat. We had to hand feed him. So every day he literally would tell me something different or circle back to something that he really loved. And one of the things was a golf cart ride. One of my friends has a golf cart. And it was, you know, we had this whole system to get him in because he was really running low on energy and stamina. But he loved this attention. We would get him in, we would help him in, lay him on the back. And sometimes I would sit back there with him. And he would just, it was like he would parade, you know, it was like a parade. We would travel around the neighborhood and everybody would wave and knew who he was. Oh. We would stop for popsicles. We would stop for ice cream on the way home. It was just every single day, you know, he got to do something very special, and it took the energy out of him. Like whatever it was, whether it was just a ride around the block or whether it was a massage, like it took so much, but that's, I mean, he slept most of the day. Like we just mm-hmm. kept comfortable, and but that was so joyful to him, you know. Mm-hmm. This went on for 6 weeks, and he was ready. Like he was getting very close, but I knew the day that he was ready. And my vet was on call for mm-hmm. weeks because we just, and it turned out to be exactly 365 days later. So he came in on August 1st. By July 31st, he was ready to go. Mm. And he had a very peaceful, you know, we had it all set up. And again, we did everything we could, and people came to visit him. It was just, so he had like a best last 6 weeks. And when he transitioned, it was very beautiful. And again, he has been coming. I feel his presence almost every day. Mm. So, but the story behind that is, or fast forward, I should say, he passed, and I kept hearing, like, he kept saying, I will show you, I will guide you, like, I will give you messages. So when we were ready to kind of fill his kennel, so to speak, mm-hmm. when the grief subsided and I kind of, you know, the dynamic shifts in the group and the pack, as it always does when a pack member leaves, I went up to Miami. And I have to say, I have to just preface it with, Miami has almost 1,000 dogs. They're at least 800. They were up to almost 1,000 at the time that I went in mm-hmm. September. It was like a month later. And so that's a lot of kennels. So I was walking through the kennels, and one of the volunteers said, is there any way, I mean, I know there's hundreds and hundreds of dogs, but there's this old dog, they're going to euthanize him soon, and he's so fragile, and you know, he's just a favorite of the volunteers. Is there any way you think you can open your heart to him? And I was like, who's this dog? And she walked me over to him. And sure enough, he was in kennel G13, the very same kennel that Bubba's was in when I met him. Oh. And I was like, of course, he was in Bubba's old kennel. Of course. Yeah. His name is Tanner, and he's with us today. And he's, so he's been with us since September, and he has a lot of issues and having a hard time with pain. But it was just very beautiful. Like Bubba sent us the next one.
Yeah. And
it's just amazing how the energy is just connected. And it's like one after another, after another, and how everyone that passes kind of helps us along, you know. And he visits us through feathers. Every uh-huh. time there's a white feather in the funniest place, we know it's him. And another one of our dogs, Tiger, visits us through a monarch butterfly. Every time monarch, and there it comes to the yard. But it's just beautiful how they come in and they check on, you know, oh, everybody's good. Okay.
Yeah. They just come in for a little wisp and off they go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the mechanics of the euthanasia from a spiritual point of view. Like, we know what the doctor has to do, but what can we do as humans to make that process more peaceful, graceful, respectful?
Yeah. So the actual euthanasia itself?
Yeah.
You know what I found that dogs absolutely love, animals absolutely love? I just happen to work with dogs exclusively. When you're there with them and before, you know, that day or after the sedative is given, they love to hear stories like how we first met, what our favorite times were together. Do you remember the time when it brings laughter? It brings tears. They love that. They love when we reminisce. They love hearing it again at how we first met, you know, the first fell in love with me, where the first time we went on an adventure. And it just strengthens, I feel, from a spiritual level, it just strengthens that bond, and it validates that relationship. It validates it. Like, it's like a life review.
Yeah.
And then it gives the human like validation, like, okay, this is, you know, there was so much substance and so much emotion and so much joy in our life, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just the sorrow now, but let's remember all of, yes, we need to grieve and get through. Yes. So I find that when I recommend that to clients or mm-hmm. people just really reminisce and tell them stories, they find that very comforting.
Yeah.
Because it gives them something to do, right?
Yes.
People have a hard time just being.
Right. In the space of passing. Yeah. And what about touch? Do you find that touch helps? Or I heard one person, I don't agree with them, but I heard one end of life doula say, don't touch the person when they're leaving because it confuses them and they stay. But I don't agree with that with animals. But what are your thoughts about touch in that moment post-shot in the transition? What do you think about touch?
Yeah, no, I touch all the time. I hold, I cradle, whatever I can do. I think it's mm-hmm. very cool. I mean, their spirit has a very certain trajectory and they don't leave this earth a moment before or a moment after they're supposed to. It's very, there's nothing we can do that's going to stop it, contain it. Like, I just feel the touch is very, it's just very soothing for the physical body because mm-hmm. often the physical body is in so much pain at that point, is so tired, is so emaciated. It's just that comforting, extra soothing nudge for the spirit to leave. Uh-huh. And I think it's just a very loving way to honor the animal.
Yeah. Great. Beautiful. Well, let's talk a little bit. You're 100% donation nonprofit organization. How can people get in touch with you? Do you have volunteers? Tell us just a little bit about how your organization works.
Yes, I am a small but mighty organization and I have intentions on growing. We're getting there. I have a few core volunteers that are just vital to what we do. We rely on fundraising and donations and because our vet bills are quite high. I'm on all, well, I shouldn't say all social media platforms, but I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. My website is PeytonsPromiseSanctuary.org, and that's Peyton's as PAYTONS, PromiseSanctuary.org. We have a donate page. There are opportunities to sponsor one of the animals if one of them, you know, really strikes a chord with you. I have two blind dogs right now that are really favorites to the community. Simon has been blind probably since birth, and Noelle had both of her eyes removed since she's been with me in this past year. So she's been on a huge medical journey and she's a favorite now. She's learning how to live life in a new way. Mm. And then we have Chewy Wishlist and Amazon Wishlist. And we're just so grateful for any help that people can offer to make these dogs live their best lives.
Great. Well, I want to thank you, Karen Thomas, Peyton's Promise, for the wonderful, beautiful work you're doing. And I know that we're going to be talking to you again and working together more closely.
Excellent. Thank you, Jeannie. It was so great to be here with you.
And thank you all for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Podcast. We'll see you at the next episode.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human-Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.